Acts 19. We're going to read from verse 1. So it came about that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper country, came to Ephesus and found some disciples. And he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" They said to him, "No, we have not even heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." And he said, "Then into what were you baptized?" And he said, "Into John's baptism." And Paul said, "John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in him who is coming after him, that is, in Jesus." And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking with tongues and prophesying. And there were in all about 12 men. And he entered the synagogue and continued speaking out boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading them about the kingdom of God. And when some were becoming hardened and disobedient, speaking evil of the way, before the multitude, he withdrew from them and took away their disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. And this took place for 2 years, so that all who lived in Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. And God was performing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul, so that handkerchiefs or aprons were even carried from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out. And also some of the Jewish exorcists who went from place to place attempted to name over those who had the evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, I adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. And seven sons of one Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. And the evil spirit answered and said to them, "I recognize Jesus, I know about Paul, but who are you?" And the man in whom was the evil spirit leapt on them and subdued all of them and overpowered them, so they fled out of the house naked and wounded. And this became known to all, both Jews and Greeks, who lived in Ephesus, and fear fell upon them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was being magnified. Amen. In Acts 19, we have Paul at Ephesus. You know, and Ephesus seems to be one of these places where there was a lot of spiritual power or spiritual dynamics at work in this region. And so he's coming through this place, and he asks a really interesting question. And I think for me personally, this really helped kind of to answer some of the debate, you know, that was in my heart. That's also, you know, in the church as well. And it has to do with the Holy Spirit. You know, when do people actually receive the Holy Spirit? Right? There are some schools of thought that say it happens at conversion, you know, which is true, right? There is that element, and Paul will later expand on that in 1 Corinthians, right? He says, "No one can say Jesus is Lord, you know, and no one can say Jesus, you know, without the Spirit. No one can say Jesus is a curse that has the Spirit." And so there seems to be that the Holy Spirit comes upon us, or he comes into our life, you know, during conversion, right? And so the easy way to understand that is that we just think of yourself is in this way, right? Kind of three parts, even though they all kind of mix together, but are interconnected. We're body, right? Soul and spirit. And so body is the physical that you see here. The spirit is that which lasts forever. Okay, and the soul, you can actually divide that up in three parts as well, to mind, will, and emotions, right? And so that seems to wrap up what the soul is, right? So body, soul, and spirit. Now, when you get saved, the Holy Spirit enters into your spirit, right? And so whatever was there before is evicted, and the Holy Spirit resides in that place. But notice Paul's question to them. He says, "Well, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And they said, "Well, we did not even know, or even heard there is a Holy Spirit." You know, so then, well, what were you baptized in? Well, then John's baptism, right? And so, in other words, they, you know, received the baptism of repentance. That would be John's baptism, right? Because remember, he baptized, baptism of repentance. In fact, I don't have to tell you that. That's what he says in verse 4. He says, "John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in him who was coming after him, that is Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking with tongues and prophesying." Right? And so, you know, they've repented. Now they believe in Jesus, lays hands, and the Holy Spirit comes upon them. And they start prophesying and speaking in tongues. And so, you know, people use it differently. They talk about, I know the Methodists, the old school Methodists, I don't know how about some of the modern ones now, but the Methodists used to call it a second blessing. You know, most Pentecostals call it baptism of the Holy Spirit. you know, we spent some time talking about this. I don't care what you call it, right? You can call it whatever you want. But the reality is there seems to be an activation that comes upon us. You know, there seems to be something that happens outside of within conversion. And so the timing, you know, is, you know, again, when you get saved, the Spirit enters in. But there seems to be an activation that occurs as well. You know, and early on in Acts, you know, even Peter will discuss that when they go to Samaria and the Holy Spirit comes as Philip is preaching there. And so, you know, there's this the kind of duality that's going on here. And, you know, so they laid hands, the Spirit came on them. And then there was an effect, a sign of the Spirit coming on them, right? Now, a lot of Pentecostals believe in what they call initial evidence. And initial evidence basically means that when you... when the Spirit comes, the initial evidence of you receiving the Holy Spirit will be speaking in tongues, right? And so at Solomon's Porch, we don't really, we say that could be one of the evidences, but that's not the only evidence, you know? And so that's why we're not a Pentecostal church, right? That would be, you know, classic Pentecostal theology. And so, but you can make a case, though, that because many times, not every time, but many times, when they lay hands and receive the Holy Spirit, the evidence was speaking in tongues, right? But that's not, again, that's not in every passage, so we kind of take a different mode. And then it goes on in verse 11, and so there are extraordinary miracles, right? And the interesting thing I like about that passage there is because he says the word is unusual, right? Extraordinary, unusual miracles. Right, and so you have to understand, and you know, having handkerchiefs or aprons or whatnot. Now, this could sound animistic if you know what that means, right? Animism is a belief system. They believe that objects have power, right? And so obviously we're not animists, right? You know, and that you have to make a very big distinction about that. But what we believe, well, the animist believes that there's power in and of itself, in the object or whatever that they worship. Now, obviously, we as Christians, we believe that God conveys power through, you know, or he's empowered, like he empowers us, right? And so he is empowering us to you know, to work through us, you know. And so God, we say God is empowered, and not necessarily an object, but it's the object conveys the power of God. You guys understand the difference? And so so that would be quite extraordinary. But then you have to ask the question, well, if there's extraordinary miracles, maybe there's ordinary miracles, right? You know, like there's extraordinary, you know, like crazy, even though it sounds like miracles is miracles, you know, but there could be, you know, another form of that. And so, you know, so they have to say, well, there were some unusual miracles, you know, through the hands of Paul. And if they're unusual, there must be some usual ones as well. You know, and it continues on. And then we meet these Jewish exorcists, and I made a little nod to it on Sunday, so I felt like I just want to expand on that a little bit more. These guys were going around. They were casting out evil spirits in their own way, right? These are now Jewish exorcists, you know, and they were saying, you know, I adjure you by Jesus, whom Paul preaches, get out, kind of thing. You know, and this is the classic line, the evil spirit answers. You know, and he says, I recognize Jesus, and I know about Paul, but who are you? Now, I mean, a bit comical, right, in the story that's going on, because, you know, the evil spirit rises up, and, you know, it basically, the story is it beats up all seven brothers and takes all their clothes off and basically kicks them out of the house. But notice, you know, in this passage, notice what the evil spirit is saying. The evil spirit is saying, I know Jesus, right? And we should know this because all through the Gospels, right, when Jesus is preaching, what are they saying? They fall on his Son of David, have mercy on, right? I mean, they understood Son of David meaning giving a nod to his Messiahship, right? The Messiah would come through the line of David. And so they knew who he was, even though no one else knew who he was, right? They knew he was the anointed one, and no one else, even his disciples, didn't know that. Right, and so they know Jesus, right? They understand who he is. They you know, we talk about it all the time, right? On this side of heaven, no one has good, perfect theology except the demons, right? They know and they shudder and stuff. And so they know, and they also heard about Paul. And they ask, "Who are you?" You know, and you know the key part that I want you to take away today is that you know, that they recognized Paul's authority, you know, and actually a little more than that, they recognized Paul's authority given through the relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, and even the demons recognized Paul, right, because of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, and so when we're, you know, walking along the earth and when we're doing spiritual warfare and whatnot, you know, we have to have this kind of concept or this attitude in our minds as well. You know, that we, right? I mean, even as Paul says, we are more than conquerors. You know, that Jesus Christ, because we have a relationship with Him, there's an authority that God gives each one of us as believers. You know, I mean, this evil spirit understood that. It's Jesus. I know that guy. I know him. You know, probably better than anyone else. And I've heard about Paul, right? He recognized the authority of Paul, you know, and the key with these guys is obviously they didn't walk in that same authority because they didn't have a relationship with Jesus. You know, they you know, they had no idea who he was, and they just simply, you know, begin to use the name, you know, without the relationship. That is also a form of animism that's rampant in the church. People think that just because we say in Jesus' name that happens. No, the only reason we say in Jesus is because it's built out of relationship, right? Not, it's not just a saying. It's not just a formula, right? That's what sets Christianity apart from, you know, from a lot of other religions around the world. And so let's close our eyes this morning as we go into a time of meditation and prayer. And listen to what the Spirit says. I recognize Jesus and I know about Paul, but who are you? It's the importance and the value of having a relationship with Jesus. And then understanding that that relationship offers us authority. Authority to heal the sick, to cast out demons, right? To proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in each one of us. We have to walk in that authority before the Lord. Let's go before Jesus and let's just, again, claim that relationship that we have with Him and the authority bestowed through that relationship. If there's anything kind of in your life that has authority over you, things that you just feel so defeated in, let's just claim the cross over those things as Pastor Nate leads us in worship.
Soul, there must be more. Lord, I'm tired. Yes, I'm weak. I need your power to work in me. But I can't let go. I keep hanging on. There must be more. There must be more. There must be more. There
Let's pray for our community right now. Let's ask for just the empowering presence of God. He says that when to wait and then the Holy Spirit will come upon you. Right, wait for the power on high. Wait for that empowering presence in our lives. Let's pray that this empowering would just flood through our community. Just begin to flow through the church and then spill off into our workplaces, into our families, and into the community at large, and then spill through the nations. I just pray for a real move of God that starts in our hearts first, to just really flow out of us. And let's just lift up the church and the community around us and pray for God to just move in our midst. Let's pray.
Shining God.
Let's lift up our house churches that are meeting tonight. Lan Kwai Fong House Church, McDonald Road, Seymour Road, Seymour Crest, Hyges High Church, and Star Street. Let's ask the Lord to really bless our times tonight, and the family of God would gather together and just receive love and care and just pastoring and nurturing. Let's pray a community would be established, and that we'd really challenge each other to grow, and accountability would be formed. And let's just lift up these house churches and leaders before the Lord. Let's pray for members of our community, and especially family members that are sick. Let's just intercede on their behalf. We mentioned last week Xiaoming's father. She actually is a former member. Then they're actually thinking about moving back to Hong Kong. But her dad had a stroke, but he's recovering now. He's finally out of ICU. But let's just continue to pray for his recovery. Another one of our members, Howard, is actually an older member from California, and his brother-in-law is experiencing cancer in the liver, and his liver is close to failure right now, and so they just really need a miracle. And so let's just go before the Lord and just really pray for this in-law there in California and ask God to really move on their behalf. Let's continue to pray for Kenny's grandmother for a good recovery. Surgery went well. The healing took place in the intestines, and praise God for that. But let's just pray for a full recovery, and that through this that she would just come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's just lift up these people in our community and ask God's hand and favor and blessing to flow on there. And Marcia, your uncle, he's still sick, right? Oh, he passed away. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. All right, let's just continue to pray, huh? Let's just cover. Let's pray for our retreat coming up in a few weeks. Let's pray that the Lord will just really move on us as a community and just draw us closer. Let's pray for our speaker, Stefan. I actually had an old friend of mine come to church on Sunday. I haven't seen in ages. And he's actually a good friend of Stefan's and just had some wonderful, wonderful things to say about him, which gets me even more excited for our retreat. And he's a real man of God, very prophetic, and just really excited to see what he has to offer and what he's going to, the messages that God has given him to speak into our community. And so let's just lift up Stefan and make sure his visa, it's not a done deal yet. Make sure his visa to China gets secured and everything as he gets ready to come from Africa gets settled. Let's pray for, you know, all the people that are still deciding if they should go or not, that God would just kind of tilt them forward, and work schedules or travel schedules would come into alignment before the Lord. And so just lift up the our whole plan this end of this October. Let's pray. And lastly, let's go to our mission focus, and let's just pray for our missionaries in China. Let's ask God to continue to bless them. Let's pray for the Chungs, as the Lord will continue to move upon them. And John's about to go out on another trip soon, and actually Jane and Joseph will be coming to the retreat. And so let's just pray for them to get their tickets and all that good stuff. And let's pray for Pastor Nate and Matt's parents. They just had a wonderful time last Sunday night as we prayed for them, and the Holy Spirit just came powerfully upon them. And as they go back to Qingdao, that God will just really continue to use them, empower them, especially as they get prepared for a prayer conference that they're gathering together, that the Holy Spirit would show up and empower these workers to pray and be filled so they can do the work of God over their lives. Let's pray for the home, the kids' home, and Chichihar, and ask God to bless our kids and just really draw them closer to the Lord and be with the workers there. So just lift up China before God. Lord, we bless you this morning, God. Lord, we just pray for your empowering presence to come over us, God. And God, let it spill forth in everything we do today, God. Lord, we pray, Lord God, that as we humble ourselves, Lord, and rely on your mercy, God, that we would, Lord, lift up Jesus in all that we do today. God, Lord, Jesus Christ, be glorified, Lord, in our lives today. We thank you for the opportunity, Lord. We bless you, God. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. I have a wonderful day. Please continue to pray and seek the Lord. And of course, you're dismissed to go whenever you need to.